Let's go to Connor. We got Connor. Are you there, buddy?
I am, Jake. How are you?
I'm doing good. I am. I'm getting prepped for you because I didn't quite expect to have that sort of call leading into you. But today, what is it? You know, I let in, and I think it's complimentary. I'm kind of talking about infiltrators. What is it that you want to talk about? Because I do think it's complimentary.
Well, yeah, and I mean, really, it all kind of boils down to the same principles and actions. So I definitely think it does relate. I wanted to talk about CISPA, and specifically Jason Chaffetz's statement on CISPA, justifying his vote. For those who don't know, CISPA is the Cyber Intelligence Sharing and Protection Act, and it was passed last Thursday in the House of Representatives overwhelmingly. In Utah, interestingly, Representative Rob Bishop and Jim Matheson both voted against it. The only representative in Utah, of course, the third and final one that we have, who voted in support of it along with the majority of the House, was Jason Chaffetz. Now, it's interesting because Jason was kind of a leading spokesman of sorts against. He was publicly against SOPA and PIPA and that last round of Internet privacy bills that came up just a month or two ago, and he voted against SOPA. Now, what's interesting is he voted in favor of CISPA, and these two bills aren't directly related. There are many differences, in fact, important differences. Nevertheless, they boil down to the same idea, the same principle, and that is the government's ability to monitor and censor and obtain information in violation of the Constitution. So this passed last Thursday, and there was a lot of uproar. Specifically here in Utah, from people who had once supported Jason Chaffetz, who we, you know, ousted Chris Cannon, put in Jason Chaffetz. He was this kind of newly forming Tea Party darling, and he was interested in Constitution freedom. So all of these supporters are now really upset with him because they disagree with CISPA. They don't think the government should be able to obtain this information in violation of the Constitution. And here's their guy, Chaffetz, who voted in support. Now, I know you have your own words for Chaffetz, but I want to focus on
No secret there. And again, yeah. I think he's probably like a really cool guy. I mean, he seems like a very nice guy. I'd probably even, if I ever met him, I'd probably call him a friend. But his politics are just disastrous.
Well, and that's exactly what I want to focus on, is the response that he finally gave. People, myself included, have been pestering him for almost a week now, since last Thursday, to justify, or rather attempt to justify, his vote, essentially asking, you know, why did you vote for it, especially because you, you know, have voted against these other horrible things in the past. And he finally responded today, just a couple hours ago, on Facebook. And so I know we're up against a break in a few minutes, and so we'll get through as much of this as we can, and then I suppose finish it up on the other side of the break. But before I get into some of his responses and start rebutting and giving context, I want to read this quote that someone posted on his thread on Facebook by Milton Friedman, which I love. This is from Milton Friedman. He says, "One of the greatest mistakes is to judge policies and programs by their intentions rather than their results." And I think that's the problem that we have here. When Chaffetz explained his vote and provided a statement on Facebook, he then gathered supporting material and all sorts of articles from think tanks and other organizations, largely neoconservative, such as the Heritage Foundation, who wrote articles saying that CISPA was this great thing and it was important to protect the homeland from cybersecurity threats like China. And so he wasn't adding any other commentary. He was just posting one link after another, commentary about people saying that the intentions of CISPA are good. But I think that Milton Friedman was right. We shouldn't look at the intentions. We should look at the results. Or as Jesus Christ said, for example, by your fruits ye shall know them. What are the fruits? What are the actual results of what CISPA will do? And it's particularly interesting because Jason Chaffetz prefaced his comments on Facebook earlier today by saying, "I take privacy, civil liberties, and the Fourth Amendment very seriously. I think my work speaks for itself." And to his credit, he has voted against certain bills that are an affront to the Fourth Amendment and civil liberties. He has done some good votes. He is
But Connor, this is, I mean, I just have to say this. And look, again, I'm not talking about him personally. I'm talking about his record. The guy's all over the map. One moment he votes for the Patriot Act, the next moment he votes against it. The next he's voting for privacy, the next he votes against it. And, I mean, he's a disaster.
I don't disagree that he's not consistent. And that, as I've said many times on your show, is the problem. I think we have the biggest political problem of our day is inconsistency. People claim to adhere to principles. They claim, as Jason Chaffetz is here, to, "I take privacy, civil liberties, and the Fourth Amendment very seriously." There are these claims, these fundamental claims, that at times, which is what I was saying, at times he has applied those things correctly and to the benefit and support of the Fourth Amendment, but not always. As you correctly note, he is all over the map. He is inconsistent. So I agree with you there. What's interesting to me is as he gets into his response, for example, he says, CISPA contains strict... Well, I guess we need a summary of what CISPA is first. Some of your listeners might not be familiar with what the bill does. CISPA is a cybersecurity bill that pertains to the sharing of information between the government and private companies. So SOPA that came up a couple months ago, that was an anti-piracy bill. That dealt with primarily foreign websites that were illegally distributing copyrighted material. CISPA is a bill that relates to cybersecurity threats. Now, the problem with CISPA comes in that cybersecurity is vaguely and broadly defined, thus allowing significant expansion of the government in the realm of supposedly protecting us from cybersecurity threats. But that is CISPA in a nutshell. It's actually quite short compared to the Patriot Act and SOPA and things. It's only a couple of dozen pages long. It's like 27 or something like that. It's not a huge bill, and it is mostly narrowly focused on the issue of cybersecurity. So that's what we're dealing here with CISPA. Now, so what Chaffetz says in his response, he says that CISPA contains strict boundaries dictating what threats and tactics can be shared and how they might be used. And that's simply not true. He's saying there are strict boundaries. There are, in fact, not. If CISPA were to pass, companies could spy on the electronic communications of millions of Internet users and share sensitive private information to the government with no form of judicial oversight whatsoever.
Well, that's why people were so in such an uproar on Facebook, because everybody's like, why would Facebook support this? This is crazy because of this exact type of problem.
Well, what's interesting, not only Facebook, there are over like 800 companies that have come out in support of this, whether individually as their company or part of a trade organization. In contrast to SOPA, SOPA was, especially by the tech companies, really opposed, but a lot of these companies have come out in support of CISPA, and really what it boils down to is wanting to pass the buck. They're able to get immunity, complete
That's
exemption
right.
from any liability by violating the privacy terms of their users.
Because
now,
SOPA and PIPA could not be sued by individuals if they're, I mean, like Facebook, if they leaked your information, they could be held liable and sued, mm-hmm. whereas now they're not.
Well, and that's exactly the biggest threat, as you mentioned, that we have here with CISPA, is that companies can read your emails, they can monitor what websites you visit, they can see what files you download, which, you know, most of them already do, but now they can pass that data to the government with zero liability. So Jason Chaffetz says that CISPA contains strict boundaries dictating what can be shared and how it can be used. That simply is not the case. While there is language in the bill that does portend to limit it, the limits are so vague, so broad, and so unrelated even to cybersecurity. There's stuff about that it can be used for child pornography, all of these broad things. There are no strict boundaries.
All right, come on back, guys. We're going to continue talking about Jason Chaffetz, and in particular his vote on this CISPA and the problems therein. Come on back. We're in the middle of the Boyack Review right here on Metal Self Defense Radio, AM 630, K-Talk.
Won't you tell me your name? Hello, I love you. Let me jump in your game.
All right, guys, welcome back. Metal Self Defense Radio. I am your host, Jake Shannon, and we are in the middle of the Boyack Review every Tuesday. We get Connor Boyack on here speaking his mind. Today he's talking about Jason Chaffetz and his vote with CISPA. And we're kind of hosed now, right? Because obviously Chaffetz voted for it and Matheson voted for it. And the only one who voted against it was Bishop.
Not true. Matheson voted against it, actually.
Oh, Matheson voted against it.
Surprisingly enough.
So Chaffetz is the only one who voted for it?
That's correct, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, he's not in a good camp.
And then so we're kind of hosed because we got to rely on the Senate. Now, fortunately, Mike Lee has been on the right side of things far more often than the wrong side, so hopefully it'll be that. But then we got Hatch to deal with, who loves this kind of stuff.
He does love this kind of stuff. He's boasted that he helped write most of the Patriot Act. Now, he is facing re-election, and so he'll have his finger to the wind, and if Utah raises enough hell, there is a chance that he'll feel that he needs to vote against it.
Yeah.
But as you note, he has loved and strongly supported stuff like this in the past. But what's particularly troublesome, as we're talking about here, is Jason Chaffetz, who kind of dances around the issues and seemingly goes back and forth. And as for those who are just now tuning in, Jason Chaffetz, just a couple hours ago, finally posted a response on Facebook as to why he supported CISPA. And we went over one of the statements, which was that he claimed that CISPA contains strict boundaries dictating what can be shared and how it can be used, and that's simply not true. Another thing that he said in his response is, amendments have been added to preclude the government from demanding or misusing information. Well, yeah, that's true. There were some good amendments. Justin Amash had a good one, I think, was one of them. And there have been other amendments that passed during the CISPA discussion that limited it. However, Jason Chaffetz's reply does not note that there were also bad amendments that were passed. For example, from Representative Ben Quayle out of Arizona, that significantly broadened, this was a last-minute amendment, by the way, that significantly broadens the scope of what can trigger government surveillance, what for what purpose and authority they can use it, already adding to the nebulous and vague threats to cybersecurity and national security. These things just aren't defined and locked down well enough in the bill. Now they claim the authority, for example, on page 10, for those who want to look up the bill, they can share this information and request from companies your private information, quote, for the protection of individuals from the danger of death or serious bodily harm and the investigation and prosecution of crimes involving such danger of death or serious bodily harm. Now, what does that have to do with cybersecurity? You know, then they go on and they talk about child pornography, similar thing. Finally, they say that they can get access to your private information and share it around any government agency they want, quote, to protect the national security of the United States. Now, of course, national security is not defined. That's a very vague term, especially used by neoconservatives to justify any sort of military intervention or what have you. So when Jason Chaffetz says that amendments have been added to preclude the government from demanding or misusing information, he's not sharing the whole picture. There were also some very bad amendments that were passed that made it into the final bill, for which he supported, that significantly expand the ability to misuse that information. And I want to give this example. Patriot Act, right? The Patriot Act was supposedly passed to stop terrorism. That's kind of what people are familiar with. That's the justification that's used. But if you go look at the stats, that's not what has happened with the Patriot Act.
Yeah.
There's a fascinating graph that I looked at the other day, and I got the numbers here, that the national, the sneak and peek warrants, the ability for law enforcement officers to search private property without even letting the target of the investigation know that they're doing that, sneak and peek warrants, only 15 as of late last year had been used for terrorism. 15. 122 had been used for fraud. 1,618 had been used in the war on drugs.
Yep.
Right. So the Patriot Act is enabling the police state to rise, to grow, to expand far beyond what it otherwise would have done under the guise of fighting terrorism. So when Jason Chaffetz says that, you know, there are supposed restraints in CISPA to, you know, preclude the misuse of information, history does not bear that out. The terms are so vague in this bill to allow all sorts of applications that the proponents and the sponsors of this bill claim that it's not going to be used for. By creating such vague and expansive language, it opens the door for a use and implementation of CISPA much along the lines of the Patriot Act and many other bills like that, where they claim that the intent is such and such, but then the power is broad enough that it can be applied in many other ways. There's a great speech, and I think you have it queued up.
Yeah, are you ready for it?
Yeah, let me give us our preface here real quick. This is on the floor of the House, Representative Tom McClintock out of California. It's a less than a one-minute speech, and he rails on CISPA and dismantles the arguments of those like Jason Chaffetz who are claiming that this is somehow needed. So here we go.
The Fourth Amendment. If the government wants to snoop through a person's email, it must first convince a judge that there's probable cause to believe that person has committed a crime, and it must specify the documents it believes are relevant to that charge. Yesterday, the House passed a measure that makes a mockery of this cherished protection. Under the guise of cybersecurity, it allows the government to pressure and cajole internet providers to turn over their subscribers' data, and for the government then to use that data without the consent or even the knowledge of the individuals affected for a wide variety of vague purposes unrelated to cybersecurity, all without a warrant. This is a truly Orwellian measure that our Bill of Rights was specifically written to prevent. I hope the House will have second thoughts as it reflects on the ramifications of this act.
Yeah, I can't disagree, Connor. That's a great clip.
Powerful, right? I mean, and now that representative, he isn't spot on all these type of things, but on this issue, he spoke accurately and he spoke well, and I think he used the term Orwellian, which I think has excellent application to this issue, because in Jason Chaffetz's justification on Facebook earlier today for his vote in favor of CISPA, he said this: CISPA provides the tools to make our country, our businesses, and our citizens safer, while simultaneously maintaining our precious civil liberties. This reminded me all too well of the explanation for the NDAA that Representative Rob Bishop gave, who voted in support of the National Defense Authorization Act of 2012, which, for the recollection of your listeners, allows the, or purportedly allows the president the ability to assassinate, indefinitely detain an American citizen without due process. And so Representative Rob Bishop got a lot of criticism, just like Jason Chaffetz is for CISPA. And this is what Representative Rob Bishop said. There's a parallel I want to draw out here relating to that Orwellian charge that Representative McClintock said. So this is Representative Rob Bishop justifying his vote for NDAA. He says, "I do not support the indefinite detention of American citizens. I view the NDAA as a limitation on a power the president was claiming and the courts appear to be supporting.
Wow.
It was a step in the right direction of limiting the detention authority the president was claiming, with the goal to protect individual liberties. The constitutional rights of Americans must be protected." I mean, can you get any more Orwellian than that? In support of a radical bill that allows the president to indefinitely detain American citizens with no due process to harm and thus violate individual liberty, Representative Bishop, who supported it and voted in favor of it, says that he supports individual liberty and, you know, constitutional rights and all this jazz. It is simply doublespeak. They are saying things that they themselves are actfully and willfully violating. So when Chaffetz says that, you know, CISPA provides the tools we need to keep citizens safer while simultaneously maintaining our precious civil liberties, this bill, CISPA, does not maintain our precious civil liberties. And with apologies to Benjamin Franklin, I'm going to slightly alter his famous quote and say it this way: "They who can give up essential liberty to obtain a little temporary cybersecurity deserve neither liberty nor cybersecurity." We are exchanging our liberty, and we are being supposedly, or, you know, they are attempting to ameliorate us, those who voted in favor of this, when in fact this bill and bills like it, many of which have been voted for by Representative Chaffetz, do not maintain our precious civil liberties. Going back to that quote from Milton Friedman, one of the great mistakes is to judge policies and programs by their intentions rather than their results. Chaffetz and all the articles that he was using in support of his vote on Facebook today all bases this on the intentions of the sponsors, the supporters of CISPA, claiming that it will do this, that, and the other. Simply, of course, it hasn't become law. There are no actual results for CISPA yet, but history bears out with the Patriot Act and with so many other laws like it. The government will expand, will find ways to apply it to situations for which it was not originally intended, all for the ultimate diminishment and destruction of our individual liberty.
Yeah, I think this speaks to something, right? Because I will say there is one strain of kind of libertarians I notice. They always talk about unintended consequences. And that's fine. And unintended consequences are fine. But I don't care whether they're intended or unintended. I care about the consequences. You know what I mean?
Right.
And actually, I do think that people should be a little more careful about what they do with their grandiose planning. Let's say it's unintentional. Well, still, you know, if it's unintentional, you kill somebody, you still can get in a lot of trouble for it. And that, I think, should be somehow relevant to this these people who say that they're doing one thing and then it's kind of actually ending up as the other. I mean, like, okay, so you say that, you know, Chaffetz voted the right way in some ways, but, I mean, going back to 2009, he voted in favor of the Cybersecurity Act of 2009, which was like the internet kill switch. So he's clearly just a disaster. I mean, I guess we're kind of spoiled by these ideas that these guys will actually have principles. And, you know, that's something that we could discern, that's not just a random coin toss how they're going to end up voting on something, you know?
Well, at a minimum, I suppose we should simply hope that they would uphold their oath of office and only vote for things in accordance with the Constitution, just as a minimum benchmark. I mean, is that really too much to ask? And on Facebook,
and wouldn't it be a traitor if you did something opposite of that? Without actually an amendment?
Yeah, it would be, you would be a domestic, what's called a domestic enemy of the Constitution, for which they take an oath to defend the Constitution against. So they are therefore becoming the enemy of the very thing that they're taking an oath to fight against. But, you know, when Chaffetz was posting all of these articles on Facebook and, you know, with no commentary, he was just saying, oh, look here, what they said and what they said. I asked him the question, and I just said, you know, simple answer or simple question, can you tell me where in the Constitution you're given the authority to do this at all? And so, I don't know, like an hour later or something, another comment was posted, presumably by a staff member, with no commentary other than constitutional statement by Mr. Rogers of Michigan for CISPA, and it boils down to this. Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution, I'm reading this constitutional statement for CISPA. Article 1, Section 8 provides that Congress shall have power to provide for the common defense and general welfare of the United States, and to make all laws which shall be necessary and proper for carrying into execution the foregoing powers. So basically, by including this as a supposed justification for his vote, what Chaffetz is effectively saying is that the power to provide for the common defense and the necessary and proper powers clause provide the necessary constitutional authority upon which CISPA can be voted, which is poppycock, right? This is complete BS, because it's the same type of argument that's used by all sorts of people with whom Chaffetz might disagree. For example, Obamacare. People claim that it's the Commerce Clause that gives that authority, right? The ability for Congress to regulate commerce between the states. That is not what the Commerce Clause means. And by using this argument here, by Chaffetz claiming that the power to provide for the common defense somehow allows him to violate the Fourth Amendment, right, is completely fraudulent. Let's remember that the Fourth Amendment requires particularity. It requires someone going before a judge and saying, I believe this person has committed a crime or will commit a crime. Here is the person, here's the place, here's the time. You need details. You need particularity. CISPA and all these other bills like it allow for a complete exemption from that. It is general. It allows you to, the government to collect and hoard and sift through data for which there has been no probable cause or judicial oversight. So for Jason Chaffetz to claim that there is somehow constitutional authority to violate the Constitution is completely inaccurate and horribly dangerous.
Yeah, I mean, but, you know, the scary thing is they get away with this because there's not enough people like you and me, Connor. I mean, that's why they did. How many times do you see people kissing his butt on Facebook? And in light of the fact that there's these votes, and this goes not just for Chaffetz, this goes for Bishop, this goes for Matheson. It's so, people get stars in their eyes, and I remember the old Bill, I'm old enough to remember Belle Biv DeVoe, that's embarrassing, but they had this song called Poison, and the line that was always, everybody always knew, is don't trust a big butt and a smile. Well, it should be like don't trust a politician and a smile. I look at Chaffetz, he's so likable, he's so affable, and then he's doing these awful tyrannical votes, these Orwellian votes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, and I remember when I went to my Republican caucus, and the big question there was, will Hatch be reelected or not? And we talked about the NDAA, and like you said, you know, people had stars in their eyes. We're getting the same thing with Chaffetz. We have a lot of work to do, but, you know, we need more voices out there.
Hey, man, I appreciate your voice. Catch Connor every Tuesday here with the Boyack Review. Thanks, Connor. Talk to you next week.